Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I worship Him. I love Him. I thank Him for being there for us. And as we involve God in our lives, you have to believe and understand He is involved and He is active. The Lord loves light and He rejected darkness. That's one of the first things we saw Him do. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Lord said, "Let there be light." And He saw that the light was good. He received the light and rejected the darkness. Now, when we ask the Lord to help us, He can't wait to help us. If you think you're excited about being blessed, about being saved, about being healed, about recovering financially, or coming out of any form of danger, temptation, God is very excited when we involve Him. And I have sensed that the Lord is pleased when people come to life. The angels rejoice. God rejoices. He loves it. And when people love Him and He loves it, and He's in covenant with those of light. Now I want to explain something the Lord just explained to me. I talk a lot about His people and then lukewarm people. And yesterday's broadcast, the Lord had me talking about, He had me address it again, how lukewarm people, they're different. They're rotten. There's something rotten about them for God to spit them out. They're not like people. I used to think that they were just lazy or indifferent, maybe. But no, these lukewarm people, last night I said, "Lord, there's something else about lukewarm people. I want to understand it." He said, "They won't budge." When whatever it is that has caused their heart to be divided against God, they don't repent. And I gave the example of Saul. He changed his focus from the love of God to power over people. And when you love that kind of power, you also simultaneously get into fear. He feared what the people would think over what God said do. And they don't budge. They don't repent. They're like Eli's sons that were sleeping with women in the temple of all places, and taking the best meats for themselves, and they made people regret going to give offerings to God, and they wouldn't repent because God was going to kill them. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't budge. And hot or cold, God wishes that we would be one way or the other. But lukewarm, you know, He can deal with people that reject Him. It's not the end of His world if you reject Him or if anybody reject Him. People make that kind of choice all the time. He wants ultimately He would love for everybody to love God and just want to do right. But the logic of those who walk in the light is opposite to those who choose to walk in the darkness. And the problem with lukewarm people, they know better and they still chose the darkness. They were introduced to the light. They enjoyed it for a time. They're like the people who they rejoiced when they first heard the word, but their roots didn't grow deep enough. And when they were challenged, they went back to the world. So, and some people live in a state of they never get rid of the darkness. They don't get rid of they try to live in just like a garden with weeds in it. And they can't grow properly and they can't bear fruit. You know, when you live without the sin of this world and your heart is good ground and you receive God's word and it becomes a part of who you are, you rejoice in Him. And all the darkness, when you drive it out, you bear fruit for everybody to see. If you think of a beautiful peach tree loaded with big peaches on it, I've seen peach trees, they grow peaches and they droop, the branches start drooping. That peach tree stands sitting there waiting for you, anybody that wants a peach, to come and get it. Same thing with apple trees, pear trees. My friend got a pear tree and it gets loaded. He can bring a bucket of pears every day for several weeks. And sometimes he'll bring everybody, one for to bring pears and let everybody eat them. And something else to offer is where it don't bear much fruit, but it's a good pear tree. Now, the thing about it is this. When you bear fruit, you have a logic opposite of darkness. You're dealing with light. You see things different. You long for people to come to know Christ because you love him. You know he's good. You know he's with us. And you want people to join in and live forever. You know you're going to live forever. You have God's peace. You got his word on it. Beside that, you have interaction with the Lord. The Lord wake me up and have me praying for people so he can be involved. But there are some people that means nothing to them. They'll blow their nose on all that. They don't care about that. That's not, you know, they'll try to find something wrong with your life. And when people look at people and try to gain an excuse for what they don't like about God, they're trying to discredit Jesus is what they're doing. Now, these are things that's not in the realm of our concepts. When you love God and know him, you've been saved, and you can't imagine such an evil. But guess what? It's there. When people avoid the knowledge of God, they do it on purpose. That's not an accident. They mean what they're doing. Their logic is opposite of yours. No matter how you dress it up, no matter how much you love them, no matter how much you care about them, their logic is not like God's logic. Now, they want their own skin to be saved. They want to do well. Nobody you know would go and jump off in a fire. But the God of truth said that people are going to go to hell. They don't believe that. I've heard people say, well, when you did, you did. They harden their heart and they will not budge. When they're lukewarm anyway. But the logic of the world, the hardness of the heart. That's why Jesus, he prayed for his people. He prayed for his people. Let's look at it. St. John, I'm turning now. St. John chapter 17. See, if we pay attention to Jesus, he's right about everything because he spent time with his Father. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word became flesh. Now, let me explain something. Nothing you see in the universe was made without Jesus. Everything that you see, Jesus made it. He's the spoken word of God. He did it all. But he became a man. When he became a man, he had to learn just like he came as we do. He was stripped of his knowledge. And he had to learn just like a baby, just like we do. He had to study the same scriptures we study. Let me say that again. I don't know if people get this or not. He had to read Isaiah. He had to read about the Genesis, Exodus. He had to read what Moses wrote. He studied in the temple and learned and grew. And he had to believe who he is. He had to grow from glory to glory exactly like we do. Imagine that. You're the Word of God, but you're born just like a baby. The knowledge, all the knowledge you have before, is suspended. God can do anything. I'm going to give you an example that I experienced when the Lord started using me to speak prophetically. I used to write down the prophetic word he would give, and then I'd read it. Now, I took the baby steps. He started causing me to write when he gave me the gift was prophetic utterance. That means you can prophesy without an interpreter or tongues. God is using you to speak prophetically. That's a gift of prophecy. That's prophetic utterance. But in the first stage, I would write it down and read it. Then the Lord kept, that went on for weeks, and the pastor at that time would recognize me at the end of every service before he gave the benediction. Then I was sitting there, and he gave me too much to write. And I reached down to get my notebook. I forgot all of it. I couldn't remember not one word. And I knew he was Elder May was going to call on me to speak this word. I knew Dr. May was going to ask me, did I have anything? And I had something, but God took it from me. I could not remember a word when I picked my notebook up. And I realized something. He wanted me to speak it without writing it. So in faith, I put my notebook down, and all of it immediately came back. And I said, Lord, that's too much. I can't remember all that. He said, say the first part and the rest will flow. And that's exactly what happened. I spoke every word of it. The Lord is able to suspend your knowledge. See, Jesus came as one of us. He became a man in the full sense of the word. Everything he taught, everything he did, he received it step by step, just like we have to do. He allowed the Father, by the Holy Ghost, to clue him in on everything. See, people think that Jesus knew every person, this and that, you know. God was revealing it to him. What's the man's name? The apostle. He saw him at the tree. A man that there was no guile in him. He had a vision. The Lord showed him who to select when he had selected his apostles. He showed him who, you know, Andrew and Peter, you know, John, James. The Lord gave him direction who to talk to, who to select. Even the son of perdition, because it was prophesied. Jesus knew it as the Father showed it to him. He searched the scriptures. He did everything the scriptures said. The Father guided him, and he obeyed. He was connected to the Father, just like we got to be connected to him. So, a lot of times I talk about people who follow God and dynamics of following God, because the enemy decided a long time ago, centuries ago, 1,000 years ago, he decided, or 2,000 years ago, he said, I got to disconnect them from the head. And he succeeded. Some people break through. And those that break through, and they obey precisely what God do, these are the ones you remember, like Lester Sumrall, Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, Smith Wigglesworth. They broke through, and they were able to do things that normal preachers couldn't do. Then there are many others, women too. Oh man, it's so wonderful. People broke through. The Azusa Street Revival. People broke through. Many people broke through and did their destiny. They did their destiny because they broke through. They adopted the logic of God. They lived according to the light. They received the word down deep in their heart. They grew great roots in the knowledge that they had. And while this was going on, the enemy was steadily trying to deceive them, just like he do everybody else, but they kept breaking through. They drove the darkness out of their heart. They received the light, and they began to bear fruit. That happens for any Christian. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be well known, and you don't have to be unknown. You just have to receive God's word and drive the darkness away from you. The darkness will work just like weeds in your garden. Anybody that's got a garden, if you got grass growing in it, weeds, you're not going to have great fruit. You're going to have small corn. You got to get the weeds out. And it's not easy, but you have to work it. And the more you work it, the better your fruit will be. All things being equal, if you got it in the right amount of sunlight, the right amount of water, good soil, you know, in the parable of the soil, it was the focus was on the seed and the soil. What type of soil? The seeds are good. God's word is good. What kind of soil is it? And then there's in normal horticulture, you know, not normal farming, the farmer is another aspect, the sower. When Cain had blood on his hands, the earth wouldn't produce for him. So when people have strife in their heart, that's the same as murder. That can hinder your garden. You have to have, see, looking at it with from God's perspective, the earth responds to man. We have dominion over it. We have to be washed in the blood. And we have to walk in his love. And then the earth will respond kindly to you. The thing, the logic of light, your concepts, your appreciations, your appetites, is of God. Now, when I don't want darkness to be hidden in my being. I don't want doubt somewhere in my being. The Lord taught me this too. I said, people struggle to be healed. But before I was praying that way. He said, healing is as easy as picking fruit. And then I said, Lord, people struggle to be healed. It looked like it can't happen sometimes, you know. And then he explained something. I said, there's something going on that I don't see. And he showed me what it was. He said, doubt can exist in different parts of your being. See, when a man is born again, he has a pure heart. His heart wants to do everything of God, nothing of Satan. But he still got the same mind. If your body's in pain, the pain suggests that you'll always have it. That you can't get over this mountain. This is a doom you just can't, you don't, it suggests that even God can't help you with this. That's not true. God can't wait to help you with it. But the pain in your arm or your leg or your side or your stomach or wherever it is, the cancer, the doctor said that they can't do anything else. And all your kin folks that visit you and sobbing and crying, expecting you to die, suggest that you're not going to make it. And even if you have faith in your heart, that doubt is trying to get to the heart. Because doubt is of Satan. And it's trying to get to your heart to stop you so that you won't be a hard target. So that your foot won't crush Satan's head. Because as Christ is, so are we. As Jesus is, he crushed his head. And Satan is actually afraid of every believer, whether they know it or not. Every one of them. He's afraid of their potential. He's afraid of them bearing fruit. So he tried to do as much as he can. And don't think that God is going to allow Satan to do something. God put it to me this way. He said, I allow what you allow. Are you allowing Satan to do something? And if so, stop it. Talk to doubt. Tell it. You refuse to believe a word of it. Don't go by the symptoms. Don't go by how you feel. A friend of mine had stomach issues. And that bothered him. He believed God. He got healed. Then he started having symptoms. He went to the doctor. They did a endoscopy. I think I called it right. They looked in his stomach. And they showed him the pictures. There was nothing there. Those were ghost pains. That was doubt trying to get in his heart is what it was. Same thing happened to my daughter. She had Crohn's. And pastor said, anybody got a stomach problem? She got up. She came up and got healed. He laid hands on her. I stopped buying Pentazo. And they did a endoscopy again, no Crohn's. They did three of them, no Crohn's. But she had a scar tissue in her colon. They cut it out. But see, I explained to her, when Kevin had this problem, he went to the doctor. They did an endoscopy on him, and there was nothing there. Sometimes your body will look for the pain. You have to speak to it. If you don't want interference, such as the weeds in your garden, you don't want it in your heart. You want to drive it out. All of this stuff can be driven out, and a new logic can form. Heal, the logic of healing, the state of healing, the state of salvation. I'm in a state of salvation. I'm not of the world anymore. You can have that logic at your will. My body is clean. My body is pure. My body is healed. I will never have those symptoms again. You can speak to it. You can fight back. Good training is important. Receiving the word of God is how you get it. The Lord suspended everything, all that knowledge Jesus had to create all these planets and people of other dimensions even. See, they said if everything that Jesus ever did, the earth wouldn't be a decent library to hold the books. But he became a man. God suspended that knowledge. He had to do like we do. As he is, so are we in this world. When you believe God, I want you to understand something. Jesus said, don't you know I can call what 12 legions of angels? And you know, he could have done that. So can we. When we speak the word of God in faith, angels, they carry it out. There's an army waiting on us to give commands. So when you see dangerous things happening, speak in faith. It will work. We need to be interceding for the people of Afghanistan, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. The Taliban wants to take over. We can protect them because the angelic army will move on our behalf. Now, Jesus didn't pray for everybody. He prayed for his people and those that hurt him. Now, this is St. John 17. Listen to the prayer that Jesus prayed. I'm going to read down to verse 9. It's a lot of meat here. It's a lot of goodness here. The logic of light is very important. Verse 1. Glasses. These are the words Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's subject to God. I love it. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. See, that's a specific. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You see that? I'm going to read verse 5 again. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now watch verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You see that? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This is what Jesus prayed for us. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for his people. But let's continue. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy, and that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Same standard. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Jesus was connected to the Father. And we are mighty when we are connected to him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And this verse proves it. As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Same protocol. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Now this is where I wanted to get to. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Awesome. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. See, we're one. The body of Christ operates as one. When you see destruction happen in another country such as Afghanistan, there are people who believed on Jesus there. There are Muslims that were born there, and they saw the light of God. They came to the knowledge of Jesus, and they got saved. So we got to pray for them. We share responsibility for they're the body of Christ, just like we are, and just like those who all over the world. In fact, Christians all over the world need to be praying for each other, because we're a body, and we need to be protecting each other with our authority in Christ. Our prayers avail much. The angelic armies are there to protect them. You know, you just got to know. Some people don't know these things, so they can't they can't operate in it. So you have to consider. You have to be considerate. If you understand how to use authority, you have to use it for your brothers elsewhere. When you see them in apparent danger. And then pray that God will give them wisdom, like I did yesterday, and continue to do. Continue with verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. You see that? The world has not, they have another logic, another belief system, another concept. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Perfect. So when we walk in God's word, we receive his logic, his understanding, his way of living, and it's powerful. Now those who rejected God don't have it. They're opposite. They are opposite. They don't rejoice in the love of God. They're focused on their hurts, their fears, and their weaknesses. And they don't even like the ways of God. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. But he loves all of us anyway.